Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
It's the same old story.
Well, it sure was the same old story as it has been for the last couple of games. Blue Jackets lose and don't score hardly at all in the process. Welcome to CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McGilligan. Blue Jackets went into Pittsburgh last night in a highly anticipated matchup with the Penguins. The final head-to-head meeting of the regular season, a chance to pass the Penguins in the Metropolitan Division standings, a chance to get home ice advantage in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and instead they come out empty. And they come out empty after losing by the score of 4-1. It was not the game the Blue Jackets wanted to play last night. It was not the game you wanted to see. It was not the game I wanted to see. But at the end of the day, does it really matter? And I'll get into that a little bit more as we go along. But the Blue Jackets' offensive woes continue. One goal in last night's game, and happened to be a shorthanded goal off the stick of Brandon Dubinsky. And that's it. That's all they could muster. Now listen, the Penguins goaltender Matt Murray made some good saves throughout the course of the game. But I just don't think the Blue Jackets gave it. I shouldn't say they didn't give it their best effort. That's what I was going to say. I won't say they didn't give it their best effort, at least in the early part of the game, but they just didn't muster enough once again. But again, does it matter? Does it matter now, or does it matter next week? It really matters next week. But let's get into the lack of offense that the Blue Jackets have right now. And I've been talking about it with you, and you've been talking about it with me, and this has gone on and on and on. And I got a question last night on Twitter, and it said, you know what, I'm going to go to it because I don't want to shortchange the person that sent it to me, because I'm usually very good about identifying the person. Well, it's very easy. It's James, and this is the question, very simply. So, is it okay to press the panic button? James, I think it is okay to press the panic button right now. And I'll tell you why. Not just because of what I observe and what I feel, but it's also because of what I hear. And I'm going to play these post-game comments from Blue Jackets captain Nick Foligno for you and tell me if you don't hear from him what you see and you feel when it comes to pressing the panic button.
I think we're a team that knows that there's some urgency now that needs to happen, and maybe that's the best thing for us, because that's what's, I think, lacking on our team is the urgency. And you know, I don't know why it's gone away, but we need to find a way to get it back, and I think every guy feels that right now.
What's the first step out of something like this?
Oh, it's tightening up your game so that, you know, you're making the easy plays. I think right now you can see it. We're making plays that are the 50-50 ones right now, instead of making the sure bet plays. And all of a sudden, you start making those tape-to-tape passes and making things look easy, then all of a sudden your game starts to come along with it. But right now, we're trying to thread the, you know, the needle on a lot of plays, or you know, shooting when there's no one in front, and then, you know, there should be someone in front of them. There is guys in front, it's getting blocked. But that's the fine line, like I said, between winning and this league, and we have to find a way to get that back real quick here.
Thanks.
There were plenty of shots on goal, but you're talking about creating the good, you know, A-quality opportunities?
Yeah, right now we need that. I mean, we just need more havoc around the net. And it seems like every time we have somebody there, it's getting blocked. And then when it's getting through, we don't have anybody there. That's what it seems like. We're out of sync right now. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, just our mentality, our urgency. I mean, like I said, execution on plays, and that has to be there this time of year, and it's not. And you can see it. I mean, out of our D zone, in our offensive zone, we have spurts, moments, so I know we can do it. It's not sustained, and a lot of that has to do with just, you know, this time of year and how teams play, and we're not playing at that caliber right now.
So that is why I'm leaning toward that panic button big time. Listening to Nick Foligno talk, he's being very diplomatic about it, and, you know, we have to do this. Other teams are playing this way. But there is, at least, if not panic, a very palatable level of frustration amongst this group right now because of them not getting it done. Not just talking about wins, scoring, not getting it done, not getting any scoring going on whatsoever. So the frustration level is at a peak, I think, and maybe they're not leaning toward panic, but you and I, we are programmed to lean toward panic in these types of situations. Now, I said this a couple of days ago. I'll say it again. I thought that they were totally out of sync and out of sorts going into the five-day break. They came out of that break and went 8-2. So that is where my hope is, that this is just another blip on the radar screen, that they're going to get through the rest of this regular season. They're going to take next Monday off, and they're going to come back in a full mental preparation for what lies ahead. All right, now, it's what do they do in the next three games between now and then? That's going to be the question. Brandon Dubinsky had the only goal of the game. He, too, is frustrated about the team's lack of scoring and about the overall play. He talked after the game to me last night.
You're not going to just show up one night to the rink and everything's going to be better and everything's going to be corrected. And, you know, we're going to score seven goals like we have numerous times this year. You know, we gotta just put our heads down and get to work and practice. You know, be ready to start games and put our best foot forward and put together 60-minute efforts, because that's what it's going to take when the playoffs come.
There's always the concern when you dry up offensively that the rest of your game starts to fall. Did you feel some of that tonight?
I don't want to speak for other guys. I just I didn't think our line was good enough. We got to be, We got to provide offense, and we got to play good defensively. I mean, we can't be on the ice for four goals against. Just not good enough. No matter how you slice it, you know, we can, you know, dissect the game all day long, but it's just not good enough.
Some of these goals were self-inflicted too. A turnover, just a bounce off a body is what happened to Cam.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't. You know, they were tough, and as you said, you know, we did a lot of it to ourselves. So those are some of the things that we got to correct and make better. And just got to be better. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, you know, our line is going to be relied upon big time as we go through here the last couple of games and into the playoffs. So we got to find our game and our consistency, and it starts with effort, and wasn't good enough for them.
No consolation in the fact that even though this one really doesn't matter and next week does, you wanted to be in a better position to try to grab some momentum, right?
Yeah, it's just not going to come. We can't just flip a switch and think our game's going to show up. So we got to use these periods and these practices to get ourselves ready. Playing the right way, being physical, playing hard. You know, just he talks about it. He says it. Let's let yourself go a little bit and try and come back to the rink. I mean, losing is never fun. Winning's always fun. But we got to try and find a little fun back in our game. And it's not fun right now. Tonight feels pretty shitty being, you know, especially me and my line. So we got to get a lot better and get some fun back in the room. And, you know, maybe that's something we got to take on as leaders and just relax a little bit. We're a good team. We just got to get back to it and playing hard. You can always control your energy and your effort and your work habits and things like that. And we just got
to
do them.
Get some fun back in the room. He's right. It's not fun to lose. You heard how he described it, and he's dead on. It is not fun to lose. This team had not lost three straight games all year long. Now they've lost four in a row. They are being tested, and they are being tested at the most important time of the year. Now, how do you think that John Tortorella reacted after that game last night? Was he, as he likes to put it, peeling the paint off the walls? Was he understanding? Or was he somewhere in between? Let's find out. Here's what the head coach of the Blue Jackets had to say after last night's game.
We're lacking execution. We have, 79, I think, shot attempts on goal are towards the net. Just lack of execution offensively. I think they get a little puck luck tonight, too, on a couple of their goals. We give them a free one at the end of the first period. It was just a kick in the teeth. That's just a free goal. We have full control of the puck, and it ends up in the back of the net in the last minute of the period. So we just got to keep on grinding away and try to find our offense. And and go from there.
Nick characterized it as not being able to make the simple play, or maybe not choosing to make the simple play, but trying to make the more complicated play. Is that part of the problem?
No, there were some easy plays to be made, and we didn't make those. So we're out of sync offensively. I didn't mind our effort at all. I thought our physical play was there. But we're just simply in a funk offensively, and tonight didn't get any better. So I looked at some offensive plays that are right there. We haven't been able to make a lot of good offensive plays right now.
Is it mostly mental then at this point, John?
I don't know.
Same players and everything?
Well, when you're talking offense, you always look to your top guys, and we don't have a lot of those guys going right now, and we haven't in the last little while. I don't think it – for some of them, I don't think it's lack of effort. For some of them, I think they're down the wrong road as far as just some bad habits that we've got to get them out of. And so we've got to work at it. As we prepare for playoffs, we've got to get that part of the game situated.
And you said that even though you're slumping, you felt like the rest of your game has been there and stayed with you.
Yeah.
Did that feel like it started to slide a little bit for you at times tonight?
And what parts of the game?
Some breakdowns defensively.
Sure. I mean, yeah. You're always going to have breakdowns during a game. I didn't like – I mean, the first one, the first goal is just it's just a bad play. It can't happen in this type of game. And so, sure, there's a breakdown there. We end up having to kill a couple penalties in the first period. They get some momentum that way. Again, the game wasn't perfect, but I don't think we played a 4-1 game. I don't think we capitalized enough on our opportunities. A couple of went through them. They end up with a couple of they had some puck luck, but give them credit for getting pucks to the net. They score a goal. The 4-on-4 goes off of our player. Jonesy whacks one, and then it goes off his stick into the net. It's certainly not making excuses. For our team, we have to continue to work at all parts of our game, but the offensive part, we are starting with our top guys. We've got to get some sort of situation where we're making some plays.
John, you changed around your defensive pairs quite a bit tonight with obviously Werenski out. Are you looking for something or comfort?
That's 23, 24 minutes. That's pretty important minutes that we're trying to find. What we can do with it. So we'll look at the tape, see what we feel, and go from there.
John, does home ice really matter in the playoffs?
To me, home ice matters in Game 7. I think that's when I've never been a big home ice guy. It's great if you have it. To me, it's not a big deal until you get to a Game 7. I think that's where there is an advantage.
That said, did you win home ice? I mean, was that a goal tonight?
No, a goal tonight for us was to play a good hockey game. We don't get too convoluted as far as what it brings us and all that. We knew we were playing against a very good team, a team that we may face in the playoffs. I'm not sure how it all works out, but we just wanted to try to play a good game. It's fourth game in six nights. We wanted to try to play a simple game, try to get everybody involved. I thought for some of the minutes we did. I thought for some of the minutes we were good. When we did have opportunities, I thought Murray made some really good saves, but we're developing. We developed chances. We need to make more plays, though. It's funny. You talk about when you're making plays, you need to have some grind in your game. I thought we had grind in our game tonight. I don't think we had enough playmaking tonight when plays were there.
Cam was saying that he's been watching some tape, especially after the Washington game, as far as cheating in the zone. Is he one of those guys you're kind of talking about trying to – break some bad habits?
Yeah,
right now.
Cam is one. He's a very important guy to our team, and I think we've been pretty honest with Cam as far as where we need to get him back to. He's such an important guy, and he will. He's a really good player, a very important guy. I think he understands where he is. These are the things you have to fight when you clinch so early, and a lot of these guys have never been involved in that situation when you clinch. And you just lose a little bit, and I've talked about it the whole time that we've been going through it. You can't get down too far down that road. So it's good to hear that a player is saying that and is trying to grab a hold of himself.
When you went through that patch in January, I think it was a different problem, a different struggle for you. But is there something there in terms of the first step out of something like this that maybe you learned then how to right the ship?
I don't remember what you're talking about in January. I don't remember yesterday, let alone January.
After you won 16 in a row, you leveled off for the first time all year.
Yeah.
Frustration a little bit.
Yeah.
And how did you get out of that, and how might, what's the first step?
By just playing. And we just have to continue to work our game. I thought our effort was there. Even in the third period, they score a goal. It's going wide. It hits their player, goes in our net. They didn't lose their focus. They can continue their physical play, which has to be part of our game when we enter playoffs. There was some frustration on my part. I'm thinking, you know, do I just sit that guy? And you can't go down that road right now as a coach and a player. I kept on throwing people out there, and just they have to play through it. We have a good team. We have a good offensive team here. We just got to keep on playing through it and try to find ourselves that way.
It's really important for a veteran coach with a young team to show them calm and show them.
Yeah. Sure. And I'm going to. After the first period, I was upset after. It just that first goal really, really bothers me because it's just a bad play all around. But I thought all of us kept our patience and continued to work out a game. There's no sense of benching or trying to get the players or this. We've got to let them try to play through it as long as the effort's there, and hopefully they can find themselves offensively.
Is nervous the word? Have you seen?
No, I don't think it's nervous. I just think it's I do think we have chipped down a bit when the intensity isn't totally there because you know you're in. It happens. It happens to all teams, and I think some guys are a little bit inexperienced at it. It's coming here quickly here the next few days. We're going to find out what the schedule is, who we're playing, and I just want our guys to work through these next games and try to find their game and try to play the right way. That's all we're trying to do here. I thought we did for a number of minutes tonight, but we certainly didn't get enough finish, and we didn't make enough plays offensively.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella, and hopefully his team will find their offensive touch once again tomorrow night when they host the Winnipeg Jets at Nationwide Arena. He gave the team the day off today, by the way, so go ahead and get infuriated about that. Go ahead and get in your mind that a team that is losing and a team that is not scoring should be out there practicing as much as they can to get their scoring back, because I know some of you are feeling that right now. But he did give the team the day off, and rightfully so. This has been a very busy month of March. It's been very busy this month. And he said that in, this is now April. Okay, sorry. But anyway, he said about how busy March was going to be, and he was going to look for every opportunity to give the team days off. And the March continues into April here when it comes to a busy schedule. And there's a game tomorrow. There's a game on Saturday. There's a game on Sunday. So, again, you're going to play 3 games in 4 days. Going out there and, you know, beating your head against the wall again today is not going to solve anything. Today can be a mental rest day, and tomorrow can be a business day. They will have a morning skate tomorrow, which they haven't been doing for a long, long time. So that will change it up a little bit, and maybe that change will be good. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow. Now on to other things. I told you yesterday I would talk about this today. The National Hockey League has said its players will not participate in the 2018 Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. They will not go. That's what the league has said. They have basically said case closed. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe it at all. I think this is a very hard negotiating tact by the National Hockey League. They're trying to force some of the other entities involved to make some concessions. That's what I think. But here's the one entity that was making a little bit of concessions and now won't make any whatsoever, and that is the International Olympic Committee. Be as mad as you want to at Gary Bettman. Be as mad as you want to at all of the National Hockey League. But here's the deal. Be mad at the owners if you want to. Listen to me. What they're being asked to do is stop their season in the prime of their season. Now, if you're smart, you're going to say to me, well, how is February the prime? Because you just got done telling us back in February that these were kind of the dog days for a team that is already in the playoffs and they're just trying to get there, that this is where, you know, you kind of get lost in transition. Yes, I did say that. But what if the Blue Jackets aren't a team that's a playoff lock at Christmas next year like they are this year, okay? But here's what I mean when I say the prime of their season. In February, the NFL is over. All you're competing against is the NBA because spring training begins in February, but Major League Baseball games don't start until late March, early April. So you are in your window for high exposure at the same time that the Olympics go on, okay? And now, as a team owner who is paying players millions upon millions of dollars, you are asked to stop the season, which means stop collecting money at the gates, and you're being asked to let your prime assets leave, go play for somebody else, and there's no guarantee that they're going to come back healthy and be there for you when you need them. You, the person that pays them. That's what's hard to stomach. On top of that, there are travel costs. There are insurance costs. And the NHL was getting money for that from the International Olympic Committee. And all of a sudden, this time around, and remember, they've been going since 1998. To the Olympics, the NHL has, with the professional players. So all of a sudden, for the first time in 20 years, the International Olympic Committee says, you know what, I don't think we're going to pick up those fees. We're not going to pay for that. So we still want you to come, but we're not going to help in any way, shape, or form. We would like you to send us your best players. We would like to have the best players in the world. We would like to keep all of the revenue of it. We would like to maintain all of the video replays. We don't want to let you market your players in our games at all. We don't want any of that, but we still want you to send them. But basically, we will give you absolutely nothing, and you give us everything. That's really what is being asked here by the International Olympic Committee. It's exactly what's being asked. You give us everything, we'll give you nothing. So the International Ice Hockey Federation comes up with the money to pay for the insurance and the travel costs. But they were going to take the money out of their own development fund, which means that the game would not be developed around the world. And the NHL said, no, we don't want that. We want you to keep developing the game all around the world. We don't want you to take the money out of there. And, you know, then there's the thing with the players' union too, where there's no guarantee. When they negotiated the last collective bargaining agreement, the Olympics were not part of it as far as participation. They didn't say, hey, we want to participate in the Olympics every 4 years through the course of this collective bargaining agreement. They didn't say that. It's not in there. So the league doesn't have to go. So you've seen the stories about the league trying to get the players to extend the current CBA three more years, you know, take away their option year and let it continue for three more years. And that is considered hardball tactics, I guess. Listen, is it really hardball tactics? Because to me, now the players will see this differently, I'm sure. But to me, you've just guaranteed three more years of harmony in working together, right? I mean, you've guaranteed no lockout for three more years. Yes, you've got your escrow payments that they're upset about. And most of the guys right now making escrow payments weren't even around when they negotiated that collective bargaining agreement. Not all of them, but many of them. There's so many new players in the league. They weren't around. They're looking at their paycheck going, why am I losing this much money? Why are they taking this much money out of my check? You know, so they're unhappy about that. They don't understand what the bargaining was about last time and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't put into the agreement that participation is mandatory. So the NHL can do what it wants. Now, of course, the Players Association comes back with a very terse statement and is talking about the NHL not wanting to develop the growth of hockey throughout the world. And the NHL is going, no, that's not it. We just don't see South Korea as a place to develop it. And there are a lot of reasons for that. 7 o'clock at night there is 6 o'clock in the morning here. So as far as the viewing of the games, it's going to be a mess. You know, it's not on a regular schedule whatsoever. So who's going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and watch the games? Maybe you will. Maybe I will. I'll already be up at that time anyway, getting kids ready for school so I could turn it on while I'm making a lunch. Yeah, I'm going to see a lot of that game, right? But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that is it really growing the game by sending it there? Now, in 2022, the games are going to be in Beijing, and the NHL very much wants to be there. I mean, they're going to play a game in China this year, this coming year. So, you know, and the players say, well, they'll go over there and they'll do that, but they won't go to the Olympics. Look, the players want to play, and I understand that. The players want to play. Is that a Taylor Swift song? I think it is. But they want to represent their countries in the Olympics. And they're very passionate about that. The guys that have already spoken out, Henrik Lundqvist, unhappy. Alex Ovechkin, not only unhappy, but he says he's still going to go. And for the moment, his owner of the Washington Capitals has already said, I will let him go. That's going to be the next thing. If they don't get that straightened out, there could be defections. Or the league could crack down and say, if you decide to go, this heavy penalty will come upon you as a player. Not as an organization, I don't think. I think the NHL would make it a blanket thing. They would make it their rule. Maybe you get suspended. For how long, who knows? I have no idea. It's all speculation. I'm throwing it on the wall to see what sticks. So I understand why the NHL doesn't want to go. I understand why the owners don't want to give up their most valuable assets with the threat that they're going to get hurt. I understand why the players want to go and represent their countries. I do. I don't understand why the International Olympic Committee is able to dictate all of this and get everything for free. For free. And you know darn well the reason they don't want to give up any more. Well, now they don't want to give up anything, but they don't want to give up any more to the NHL is because then who's going to come knocking on their door? The NBA, the PGA, USTA. Yeah, the tennis players. You think they're not going to want something? You think the golfers aren't going to want something? You think the NBA is not going to want something? Absolutely. And they've got to be looking at it like, well, if we start paying this guy, we might have to pay four other guys. I think that is so closed-minded. These people have a gazillion dollars and won't part with any of it. And they won't part with any of it for the betterment of their own games and for the betterment of the sports that are involved. They just want everything for free. That's how I see it. They want everything for free. And the NHL has dug in. But as I said, I don't think this is a drop dead. I think this is just the hard-hitting hammer to get everybody else to finally negotiate. And I don't think the NHL wanted to go through the entire Stanley Cup playoffs dealing with this issue, because that's exactly what was going to happen. So now, one of two things. Either it stays like this and it's dead, and they will not have anything to talk about during the playoffs, or in the next couple of days, something gets done. So, you know, maybe it's the art of the deal. I don't know. I didn't read the book. But I'll tell you this. The NHL has dug in. They've made their point. Now it's going to be up to everybody else to come back and say, all right, okay, we know what you said. We know exactly what you said. But now, let's see if we can fix this. And I really, at the end of the day, I expect it to be fixed. I really do. Now, what do the players expect, and how do the players feel? I told you Ovechkin's already said he's going. Lundqvist is disappointed. There are some guys, let's be honest about this, there are some guys that if they don't go this year, they may never play in the Olympics again. It's very possible. Now, one guy that has been an Olympic superstar because he's a hockey superstar is Pittsburgh Penguins captain Sidney Crosby. Now, he is one of the guys that is going to be asked about this, well, for a while, until it's determined whether it is settled or until it does get settled. But yesterday, we were in the Penguins dressing room after the morning skate, and Sidney Crosby was asked about this. And let me play for you the comments and what he, you can hear what he thinks and what he says about this whole situation with the NHL players not going to participate in the upcoming Olympics.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I think, you hear about the negotiations and things like that, I really thought something was going to be able to get worked out. And unfortunately, that's not the case. I haven't even thought that far, to be honest. I mean, it's a difficult situation to be in, there's no doubt, but I know some guys have been vocal about going regardless, but I'm not sure if I'm thinking quite that far ahead yet. You know, it's something that, it just happened, and, it's something you have to think about.
I think there's a chance that it could change.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that possibility. I think, things happen like that sometimes where, negotiation, things like that. So, I could see that being a possibility.
And is there, with the Olympic stuff, is that something that should have been in the CBA? So instead of this sort of constant negotiation, is there anything the union can do to sort of, to kind of direct this situation?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's just, it happened pretty quickly. From what I heard, it's kind of typical negotiations, and then it kind of came out of nowhere yesterday with the announcement. So, it's disappointing. It was great experience, and I think a lot of guys want to be a part of it. I don't really know if you're asking about the legal side of things, I don't really know how that works.
Is it a mixed message from the owners saying, hey, we can't, we don't want these guys going to the Olympics to please buy tickets to the World Cup?
I haven't looked at it that in depth, to be honest. I mean, you can look at it a lot of different ways, but I think as a player, I think just right away my initial thought is, it's something that has been great to be a part of, and, it's too bad that it's not going to happen.
Now, the second question that Sidney Crosby was asked there, in case you couldn't hear the question, he was asked if, like Ovechkin, he would just go, if he would just go on his own. And he, again, very diplomatically answered it. That's what he is. He's a diplomat. You could hear it. Even at the point where he said to the guy, well, if you're asking me about the legal aspect of it, I don't know. He could have been way more sarcastic about that. Look, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a hockey player, for crying out loud. How am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to decipher all that junk? But he very diplomatically answered the question. But he is certainly one of the guys that wants to go. He wants to go. Of course he wants to go. Wants to represent his country. Here's my question to you. Are the Olympics that big of a deal to you? I mean the Olympics in general. Are they that big of a deal? Because I think in other countries, the Olympics are the be-all, end-all. And I think in the United States, winning the Stanley Cup and winning the World Series and winning the Super Bowl and winning the NBA championship and winning the Masters, I think that stuff is more important to us in the U.S., I do. I mean, how often do you sit around and watch, is it even still on, Wide World of Sports? I'm sure it is. See, that's how much I watch it. How much do you sit around and watch the occasional giant slalom race that is not in an Olympic year? How often do you watch track and field that is not in an Olympic year? How often do you watch speed skating that's not in an Olympic year? How often do you watch swimming that is not in an Olympic year? I can tell you, I never do. Ever. I just don't do it. Do I have an interest when it comes to the Olympics? Yes. Do I all of a sudden go out and have a desire to speed skate or really promote speed skating, promote the growth of speed skating? No, I don't. Promote the growth of ski jumping? No, I don't. Promote the growth of swimming? No, I don't. And if you participate in any of these sports, don't get offended. I'm just telling you the facts from my standpoint. I'm not belittling your sport. I'm not doing that at all. What I'm saying is the NHL players especially will say, well, this is a missed opportunity to grow the game. Well, people may watch the game, but if if you're in South Korea and you go and you watch the games and you enjoy it, does that mean that you're going to run out and get a pair of skates and a stick and start to play? No. I mean, I enjoyed watching swimming. I enjoyed watching, all of the Michael Phelps stuff in the Olympics. I didn't even go out for a recreational swim afterwards. Not once. So that's my point. I just think it's much more important to the other countries in the world than it is to the United States. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm dead wrong. I don't think so. If I was dead wrong, I think it would be the first time ever on this show that I was dead wrong. Therefore, I'm sure that I am not dead wrong. I am sure that tomorrow the Blue Jackets will play the Winnipeg Jets at Nationwide Arena final home game of the regular season for the Blue Jackets against a Jets team that's out of the playoffs, but plays physical and has guys playing for a job next year, so it's not going to be a cakewalk. Nothing is a cakewalk when you can't score more than two goals a game on a good day, and that's where the Blue Jackets are right now. They're scoring one and done. It's not going to cut it. Hopefully tomorrow they'll find a little bit more offensive touch. Now, before we get to tomorrow, this is just my first show of the day. This is Wednesday, and that means tonight, Jody Shelley and I have another edition of The Inside Edge on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network, 97.1 The Fan. We'll talk about the state of the Blue Jackets right now. We'll also hear from Phil Bork, who is the radio color analyst for the Pittsburgh Penguins and a former NHL player in his own right, because the Blue Jackets and the Penguins are going to be seeing a lot of each other over the course of the next couple of weeks. So we might as well get into playoff mode and get prepared. That is tonight at 7 o'clock. 97.1 The Fan in Columbus is where you can find The Inside Edge. If you happen to miss the show, don't worry. We'll have it on the CBJ Radio SoundCloud page for you after the show is done. So until later on tonight, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long. Out-tune.